the one thing that we haven't really talked about is the spiritual dimension.
Yes.
And the scripture does say, for instance, that a merry heart does good like a medicine.
Oh, sure.
So our attitudes have an awful lot to do with our mental acuity.
Yes.
Then also, the Apostle Paul said that we should not be conformed to this world.
That's right.
But we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Yes.
That we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
That's right.
The transforming of through the Word of God. We can eat all the great foods.
That's right.
We can do all of that, but if we miss the input of the life-giving transformation of the Word of God,
yes,
we're still going to miss a major component, aren't we?
You're true. You're right about that. But the other thing I want to say, when somebody is in the throes of an anxiety disorder or depression,
mm-hmm,
or extreme stress, a lot of the times, you know, in fairness to some of these people dealing with it, because I know what it feels like,
yes,
you do have to eat right too, because you've got to get that clarity and that ability to concentrate.
Absolutely.
When you're reading the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people have said to me, I can't read, Janet. You know, I can't get myself into it. So you've got, mm-hmm, to start cleaning up everything.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a total balancing of your life, and also, you know, reassessing your.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And of course, if you believe what the government tells you, that inflation is really only about 2.1%, that's the core inflation. Now, if we include food and fuel, why it gets up around, maybe 4% at the most. But we're only going to, of course, pay the Social Security recipients. We're only going to pay those people who bought indexed Treasury bonds at 2.1%, because that is actually the core inflation. And what's the core inflation? Ladies and gentlemen, they say that figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure. And they have something known as hedonics. Hedonics, H-E-D-O-N-I-C-S. That's how they calculate the inflation, to conceal the fact that the true inflation is running about at 12% a year. And the things that we're putting most of our money out on, the food and fuel and that sort of thing, that's where we're putting most of our money. This is where most of the money that my family uses goes for them. But they miscalculated, and they've got all sorts of means of lying to the American people, because that's what government officials do. They cannot tell the American people we have rampant inflation of 12%, and we may be moving, because they've stopped publishing the M3 figures, and they're running close to 18%. We'll be talking 16 to 18% inflation within a year. And this, of course, means that every year that goes by, you lose another 16 to 18% of your life savings. We are in real financial trouble here at the United States, and as attention is diverted by the dog and pony show that we see going on as far as the elections coming up, and by the tragic things that are going on in the Middle East today. And, of course, where attention is focused on, oh, my goodness, who's going to win the basketball, the NBA championship. I mean, and what about Barry Bond? Barry Bond's going to be indicted now because he lied. He said that he did not knowingly accept steroids. And so we're going to spend months every day hearing about Barry Bond and his trial. And we're not going to be looking at the important things that face your life and mine. And that is, of course, the destruction of the American monetary system. Well, with us this evening is Melody Cederstrom, certainly one of our favorite guests. And Melody supports Radio Liberty, and we think she does a great job, and we support her, and we're glad to have her with us this evening. How are you doing, Melody?
Just fine, Dr. Stan, and how is yourself?
Oh, no complaints at all. It's beautiful out here in California, and even this time of evening, it's cool, the sky's clear, and what a wonderful, glorious place to live. Well, anyway, tell me what's happening as far as you're concerned. Is there much interest in gold and silver these days?
Well, we go through the spell. We have May coming off April where, you know, people kind of kick back because of taxes. They make their tax payments, and then we have May going into spring and summer. But a lot of people are taking advantages of the pullback that we've seen in gold and silver. And, of course, I tell my clients it's, you go to grocery stores and department stores when they're running sales, and here our government gives us a sale on gold and silver, so it's a great time to pick some up. And that's exactly what they did, and that's how we have to look at it. And we have to thank them, because it allows people to pick up better prices on their gold and silver coins.
And I really think there's no question that the markets are being manipulated, but they've done this for years. But right now, I think, is an excellent time. Certainly, we see the falling of the American dollar. And of course, if you are in gold and silver, why, and you've been in it for a few years, you've done very, very well. I had a call from one of our listeners down in San Antonio, Texas today, who told me that 3 years ago, he took our advice. He sold his home, got a lot of gold and silver with the profits, bought a home down in San Antonio there, and he's done very, very well. But that's because he looked ahead, and he did not believe what the government was telling him, that everything's fine. We'll be right back. Well, Melody, of course, certainly we see that gold was knocked down again today, and it goes up one day. They knock it down by manipulating the commodity prices, and they've done the same thing again with silver. Every time it seems to be getting above $17 an ounce, well, they knock it down again.
They certainly do, and that's one thing they do well, and they do play this game very well. But, you know, when you look at the corruption in Wall Street, it's very easy for them to do the manipulations. When you have when the Federal Reserve is creating new entities to supply more funds to all these lending institutions, they certainly can use all those funds in order to apply it any way they want, and that's what they do, and that's how the whole market is rigged. So I can't imagine why anybody would want to be in a rigged market where the corruption is just running rampant, because they're the only ones that win. Sure, there might be one or two people who've done well here and there, but for the most part, people are losing. People are hurting in today's world, and they really don't know what to do. They're scared. They've led good lives. They worked hard, because we were always raised, the older generation, we were raised to work hard, to pay our bills, to keep our credit scores high, and, you know, and everything will be fine. So today people have done that, and things aren't fine, and they're finding inflation, and they found that they've been caught up in the scheme of the subprime and this mortgage and the horrible prices that these homes have risen, And a lot of people try to work it out, you know, and then yet people who don't deserve to be helped will be helped. So it's creating a lot of mixed emotions and fears, and it is truly very unfortunate. And it's, but, you know, people do have to be strong and make decisions and take control. And that's probably one of the most difficult things to do. For so long, we've been conditioned to allow, quote-unquote, financial planners and financial experts and CNBC financial news programs to dictate what people do and how they invest. And people need to take back and make their own decisions. And it's okay to make a mistake or two. We learn from our mistakes, but at least we don't have to blame someone else for that mistake, and things will be better.
Well, I think, of course, one of the things that has really impacted upon our society today is the high cost of oil.
Yeah.
And, of course, I think it's all manipulated. I don't think there's a reason for it other than the massive profits for the oil companies, but nobody wants to say that. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and, of course, I was just saying that I think one of the major problems we face today is the ever-increasing price of fuel. And, of course, it's not simply gasoline. It's simply the fuel that's going to be used for the trucks, for the farm tractors, for the airplanes. And whether it's jet fuel, whether it's diesel fuel, whether it's gasoline, the price is going up, and it's having a profound impact on our society. And certainly those people who can actually commute back and forth to work are having real problems. People who are driving our trucks, or either private people driving trucks, or certainly the big trucking firms, are having to add surcharges just to cover the cost of the fuel. Certainly this is true as far as the aviation industry is concerned. But when you understand that one of the major thrusts of the people who really run the world is to get us out of our cars, and, of course, to cut back on our air travel because it pollutes their air, and to cut back on trucking because they don't think that we really need all the things we're buying anyway, and the plan is really to progressively lower the living standards of the American people, when you understand this is what it's really all about, then, of course, a lot of these things begin to make sense. Otherwise, you read the papers every day and you scratch your head and you say, why is it that the president insists on putting more and more oil into the strategic oil reserves? We've suddenly got, 700 million barrels of oil there already stored away. And why is he buying it when the price is so very high, which only tends to create even more of a shortage and of course, drive the price up ever higher? And he says, oh, we need to have that for strategic reserves in case something should happen. But we've got a lot of oil. We've got it on the East Coast. We've got it on the West Coast. We've got it in Alaska. We've got it off the North Slope of Alaska. We've got it in the Aleutians, and we're not drilling any of those areas. And, of course, anybody tries to drill up there, why, of course, there are going to be all sorts of environmentalists out there who are objecting and complaining and putting delays in and bringing lawsuits. Remember, the environmental movement was originally financed by the oil companies that didn't want any competition. And boy, have they done well. Certainly the oil company, Exxon, made more money in the quarter of last year than any corporation in the entire history of mankind. And of course, in the first quarter of this year, why, British Petroleum and Shell Oil Company made the highest profits they'd ever made. But people can't understand. The reason, of course, we're filling up the strategic oil reserves is to create the problem. While the president says, I'm going to Saudi Arabia to try to get the Saudis to produce more oil so we can put it in the strategic reserves so we can keep the prices up. This doesn't make any sense unless you understand there is an agenda, does it, Melody?
No, it doesn't. And also I heard where he wants to even create another storage of 150 more billion barrels of oil. So he wants to even create and go over and above the 700 that he's filling. But also you have to remember that it all comes also back to the dollar. As our dollar is losing its value, and the dollar being the reserve currency, all these countries and all of these, like the Saudis and their oil prices, you know, I think it has to do with something to buy from them in order to give them more dollars, and I think it has a lot to do with the value of the dollar in addition to the billions of dollars that is created in profits. So because it's all interconnected.
And I think it's so important that people understand that our government creates money out of nothing. The Federal Reserve System and our banking system can simply create money, and that's what they do. They monetize it, and if they want to, they just print more money and more money. But what that does, it leads to inflation, and then it lowers the value of our currency. So they're two separate things. One is inflation, having to do with costs here at home, and the other, of course, is lowering the value of the dollar, which means the things we import from other countries, or when you travel to another country, it becomes extremely, extremely expensive. What they're really doing, I believe, is part of a long-range plan to destroy the value of our currency, and of course, to impoverish our people that way, and impoverished people will go along with their agenda, the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. And until people understand that there is an agenda behind everything going on today, and nothing as it appears to be, and if you want to read the Mein Kampf, you need to read the Earth Charter. It's up on the Internet, or we'd be glad, of course, to provide a copy if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. There is a master plan. The Earth Charter is part of it, Agenda 21, the Global Biodiversity Assessment, and other parts of it. The elite understand what's really going on, but the average individual, because the media is controlled, has no idea that there is an organized effort on the part of our leaders and the people who control our central bank to destroy the value of our currency. And really, unless people take defensive action now, they're going to lose their wealth. And so why should people actually invest in gold and silver today, Melody?
Well, it is a great way to preserve one's wealth, because wealth always has to be measured by something. And gold is one thing that they can't create. They can't just go to their little printing rooms and continue to print hordes of gold. And so, and gold has always been the monetary metal. So it is very important to preserve your wealth with gold. And you mentioned also a little bit ago when you were talking about inflation. And, of course, gold has always been the hedge against inflation. And many times people look to gold as it should react to day-to-day news, whether it be good or bad, or whether it be reports, or whether it be reports of inflation. I really do believe gold's main function is it performs over a period of time. And you really shouldn't look to gold on a day-to-day and follow it to day-to-day. It really is a long-term. But we talk about inflation. And it's funny how they will readily admit what the inflation rate in India is, and they'll readily admit what the inflation rate of China is, and they'll admit to the increase of money supply in China, but yet they fail to mention what we do, and they keep our inflation at a paltry, 3-4%, when really it is right up there with China's. It's way past China's, and we certainly aren't going to get lower items priced from China if their inflation rate is at 8.5%. So, and it's funny how people can't relate to the two and how they continue just flat out lie, but I guess if you call it something long enough, people do believe it.
I think it was Goebbels who said, it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is, if you say it often enough,
yep.
Why, of course, people will eventually believe. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to talk to Melody, if you have any questions. Melody, where do we really stand with silver? Some people say there's a shortage. Some people say there isn't. Some people say that you can't buy 100-ounce gold silver bars, and you can't get silver rounds readily today. And what about the status of the silver eagle? Is really in short supply, or is this a lot of hype just to raise the price of and expectation of silver buyers?
I believe, from my research, I believe that there's been a lot of misinformation provided in what is going on with silver. I also believe that silver is a thin market just like gold. And perhaps if you had the dollar begin to free fall, and we have several situations, I do believe product would disappear overnight, as with gold products. Now, we're talking about products, not so much the item itself. And so I believe there was more of a shortage of product than there actually was of silver. I mean, there was 135 million ounces sitting in the COMEX warehouses. So when you have, and whether that's a lot or not, it was there. And if there were shortages, it certainly wouldn't be there, sitting there with no takers. There is product. Now, there was a delay in Silver Eagles, and that really started back in December from the switchover from 07s to 08s. Because there was a large demand, they didn't have enough planchets in order to keep up with demand. So when January came along, they released the 08s. It still wasn't enough to follow through the several months. We saw the same thing happen in March. They didn't have enough to supply demand. Now, whether they're playing games or what their reasons are for not purchasing enough planches, that I can't answer. It only cost them 25 cents to manufacture a Silver Eagle, but yet by the time it gets to the public and to the retailer, it's $2.25 over spot. So they make a lot of money. In fact, I believe they charge a buck and a quarter for their Silver Eagles, and it only costs them a quarter to manufacture them. So they make a great deal of profit on them, so I can't imagine intentionally suppressing them. So we will have to see. They are readily available. The premiums are higher on them. They released, I guess, a million of them about 2 weeks ago. The following week, they were supposed to release the same amount, but they only did like a couple hundred thousand. So if we continue to see the big demand on Silver Eagles, yes, it makes its supply tight. To say that there's a silver shortage, I haven't come to that conclusion as yet. 100-ounce bars I could repurchase. There was odd-size bars that were readily available. Rounds were readily available. So if someone came in with $1 million, even with gold, you know, there might be a little tie-up in product a day or two, but that's not the normal. So.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Robert calling, and where's Robert calling from? Robert is calling from Santa Cruz, so we'll be with Robert in just a moment. But our guest today, of course, is Melody Cederstrom, and we're really talking about what's happening in the financial markets. America is in a recession. It doesn't matter what the Federal Reserve Board says. It doesn't matter what the financial experts say. There's no question we're in a recession. But just look around you, and people are really not doing that well financially. And certainly we're going to see an increasing squeeze on what's going on. General Motors lost $3.4 billion the first quarter of this year. The housing industry is in real trouble. Prices of houses are falling. But of course, the price of your gasoline and food is not falling at all. It's going right up. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, we've got Robert on the line from Santa Cruz. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Hi, pretty good. I listen to your show quite often on my little radio I walk around with.
Okay.
And I've been thinking about some things you've been talking about, and for one thing, we're not going to, the piston engine is going to be obsolete, you know, pretty soon, because we're going to have a different kind of propulsion system. It's not going to be nuclear, and it's not going to be toxic. And I studied a lot when I was in school in science. I spent a lot of my life just figuring out free energy devices, you know.
All right, fine. Have you got one that'll work?
Yeah, all my calculations come out that it's going to be 100% correct and have more power. And I come up with an engine that weighs about like 16 pounds.
Okay, do you have one operative, and what are you going to be burning?
Well, it's not going to be burning anything. It's going to be burning pressure, you know.
Oh, I see. You're going to be running on pressure. It's going to weigh 16 pounds, and of course, will it be comparable then to the current engine?
Yeah, it'll be 16 pounds, and it'll produce about like 1,700 psi.
I'll tell you what, Robert. When you've got one, I appreciate you giving me a call. I'd love to see it. But thanks so much for calling here. And certainly, there are people that they've been claiming for years alternative sources of energy. But at least so far, I've never seen any of them really pan out. Have you, Melody?
No, I haven't, and like you, I've heard a lot of comments and read articles and so forth, but And I do know they do keep so many of them under. I mean, there's been years that they've heard where, you know, water could fuel, run engines and so forth, but I certainly am not an expert in that area, but I would think that when one was readily available, they should do quite well.
No, I think any sort of alternative, and I really think there probably are other alternatives to oil, but the last thing that the people who have the oil cartel want would be an effective alternative. So, let's see, we have somebody else coming on the line, and that's Richard. Where is Richard calling from? Well, Richard's calling from Chicago, so let's go to Richard here. Hi, Richard, do you have a question or comment?
Comment.
Okay.
Well, I was calling to ask Dr. Stan, has he read the book that I called last time and asked him about? It's called A Secret Terrorist.
No, I really haven't. Oh, wait a minute, you're talking The Secret Terrorist?
Yeah, and it's by Bill Hodges.
No, I really haven't.
I don't know how you can get a copy of it or how I can go by a way of trying to help you get a copy of it. But Dr. Stan, I think you ought to read this book.
All right, fine. Well, tell me what it's about.
This book is about the destruction of America.
I see. Well, of course.
From within inside its own government.
I see. Now, basically, who wrote the book, do you know?
Bill Hodges.
Bill Hodges, okay.
And I was listening to your guest speaker tonight, and you guys was talking about the gas.
Right.
The oil.
Right.
We can expect for that stuff to reach $150 a barrel.
Oh, I think that's
only
about
the information that I'm receiving, you know, throughout all my studies that I'm going through.
I believe you're absolutely right.
And Dr. Stan, I really think that you ought to get this book and read it because...
Well, where could you get the book?
The Secret Terrorist. With your information and with Mr. Alex Jones and Dr. Warren here in Chicago, I have really been enlightened to a lot of stuff.
I'll tell you what, I will make it a conscious effort to get it, and thanks very much for calling me.
Please do that.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Melody Cedarstrom. And right now, of course, we have Bart calling. And Bart's calling from Carmel, so we'll have him on the line here in just a moment or two. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And if our producer will pass Bart over, why, we'll go ahead and talk to him. Under any circumstances, Melody, certainly as we see the stock market being manipulated, and who actually manipulates the stock market? There is a group called the Working Group on Financial Markets. It's authorized by the Reagan executive order, and of course it's used today to keep the stock market from falling because they know that psychologically when the stock market goes down, people's minds are suddenly are influenced, their outlook becomes pessimistic. When the stock market goes up and they have money invested in the stock market, we feel happy. And so they can make us happy or sad depending on what they do to the stock market, and it does have an impact on the general psyche of the American people. And so until people understand that the Working Group on Financial Markets, so-called Plunge Protection Team, does function today, and of course you'll sometimes see the market go down 250 points in one day, and then suddenly, just before it closes, you'll see suddenly it all recovers and it closes up 15 or 100 or 200. I mean, we've seen actually it change something like almost 500 points in the Dow Jones Industrial Average in one day. And that obviously is a manifestation of the manipulation of the market by the Working Group on Financial Markets. But of course, we can't let the American people know. Do you think the average person understands really how the stock market is manipulated by this government agency?
No, I don't believe so. I believe the people, the majority of the people of this country have been so occupied. They've been occupied, and now they're in positions that they have too many things to worry about. I mean, they know something's going on, but you're right. When it comes to the stock market, they feel as long as it is maintaining, I don't think they really care as long as it stays at a limit. And I think if they do believe it's the government, they really don't care as long as it stays and they don't feel like they're losing anything. and it is a comfort. I've had someone tell me that she had a difficult time taking her funds out of the bank in order to buy gold because she received that statement each month seeing that it's there, and that was a comfort to her. And that's how people feel with all these statements that they receive through their investments, their 401. You know, they see it at a level. As long as it doesn't lose too much, it's okay. And they're comforted and eased.
And I think, of course, in normal times, why you can understand why people would want to have their money in the banks or in bonds or in CDs, but these are not normal times. We are seeing a rapid decline in the value of the dollar. I had a friend of mine who is German, and his family had come over from Germany. And during the late 1920s, early 1930s, his grandmother was a fabulously wealthy woman. She had a million marks, I should say, and she kept them at home stuffed into her mattress. But the trouble was that when the inflation came under the Weimar Republic, why, that $1 million, by the time, you know, of course, inflation was its full thrust, why, it was probably not worth the equivalent of a dollar today. It became totally worthless, and this is what's happening to our money in the banks, our money in our CDs, our money in our insurance policies and annuities. It is being eroded by the flames of inflation. And the average individual really doesn't understand that the inflation figures that are being put out by government officials are simply to keep the American people from understanding that inflation is growing at an intolerable rate. I mean, I remember back in 1971 when Richard Nixon imposed wage and price controls on the United States on August 15th, 1971, because we had an inflation rate of 5%, and they had to stop that, that runaway inflation. Well, now, of course, we're talking about, you know, an inflation rate of 12%, and very, very few people even know what's going on. Well, let's go to Bart, who's calling from Carmel. Hi, Bart. Haven't heard from you in a time.
Yes, sir. Good evening. Thank you. But I'm always listening, Dr. Stan. Never stop listening. I try to wait till I have something pertinent to ask to make a call, like tonight.
You okay?
I don't ordinarily utilize CNN and the TV as my prime information source, but I check in to see what they're serving up. And, of course, the information coming in about this horrendous earthquake in China is got me riveted to the visuals that they're providing on the TV screen. And I've been thinking about the magnitude of it all day. I remember at one point the writing at the bottom of the screen said millions of homes destroyed. That has been stuck in my mind all day. Millions of homes destroyed.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Mark. Okay, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, Melody Cederstrom, and of course calling in is Bart from Carmel, and he's talking about the fact that over there in China, where they say they've lost maybe 10,000 people, but maybe a lot more than that, he's also actually noting that they talk about the homes that are destroyed. Actually, I had heard that almost 3 million homes have been destroyed. Anyway, Bart, you pick up this story.
So I personally have been, in my prayers, I've been asking the Heavenly Father to please help those people there, because my heart goes out to them, in addition to all the magnitude of human suffering that must be going on there now. In a material sense, all those homes will somehow, some way, have to be replaced. We're talking millions of homes. This blows my mind. And so, Melody, I guess my question would be, this is going to have some sort of economic impact on the world economy in some way, I imagine, in terms of the China's need to somehow come up with the all the material goods necessary to take care of this situation, the housing, the medical, the food, the everything. And what thoughts do you have on the impact of this horrendous event, Melody?
Well, I think it's a little too early to really cipher through the economic impacts. I don't know the area in which was devastated, I don't know. Oftentimes we relate to so many different parts of the world to be similar to the whole manufacturing and everything like here in the States. I don't know the type of quality and so forth of which were the homes were built. So even though we're talking millions, I'm sure it will have an impact, and I'm sure it will be severe. But I don't think it is the same as it would be here. I don't believe they have the same insurance impacts. I don't know, because again, I'm not familiar with that area, and I haven't been, I haven't had the opportunity to follow. Usually I'm on CNBC and not CNN. So, so more than that, yes, the horrendous, and so often so many of these, the nations do come to the aid of these countries when they have these severe, just like Burma, with the problem they had. And of course that even is going to impact more of the rice trade also. So
hold that thought for just a moment, Melody. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Bart calling from Carmel. It's just talking about the horrible human tragedy that is underway in the central China today. It said that at least 10,000 have died, and that may just be the beginning of the number of people who are dead. Many people may be trapped in the rubble. It's estimated that over 3 million homes have been destroyed or may be destroyed. And of course, Bart is talking about the necessity of praying for the people over there, and I think it's an important thing that we should pray for, certainly their welfare. Understand basically that their government doesn't care about the people. In fact, the purpose of the federal government is to limit the population as much as they can. They will certainly not be sending massive amounts of medical supplies and food supplies into that area. They're certainly not going to rebuild their homes as we do here in the United States. We see a catastrophe. Immediately, of course, money is sent in, even many times from the federal government, to help rebuild the communities. Where do we get our money? We just create it out of nothing. And so we expand the money supply, and then by destroying the value of everybody's currency, we're able to help specific areas, but it makes the politicians look good. They don't do that over in China, and I think these people are going to be pretty well left to defend on their own. Certainly they'll send in perhaps some food supplies and some medical supplies, but the real purpose of the Chinese government is to kill off as many of their people as they can, because they have too many people, their population is growing too rapidly, and population control is the major agenda of people in that area, as it is of the government in Burma, where they actually have too many people, and that's one reason why they're blocking humanitarian aid. We're dealing with organized evil. When you recognize that, you understand the plight of these tragic people. Bart, do you have anything else you wanted to say?
Just one quick final comment, Dr. Stan. When I very first heard about this magnitude of the 7.9 quake, which is just one point away from a great quake, the very first thought that entered my mind was California's next.
Well, let's hope and pray you're wrong, but who knows? That's all in God's hands, not in ours.
Yes, it is. God bless you both, and thank you.
God
thank
bless you.
Thank God
you.
Bless you. And also, Dr. Stan, I read it where they did change the Richter scale. So actually, you should be adding a point. Was it a year or so ago they changed the readings on the Richter scale? And so now that earthquake is... It would be an 8.9, not a 7.9.
Well, it must have been a terrible, terrible catastrophe.
Yes. Really. And something else with this globalization, and in order to promote the New World Government, they parade China around like they're a country just like ours, and we often forget the word red and exactly who these people are. And, it's inbred, they're not changing. And with the financial markets and you know, you hear about all these great investments in China, the Olympics are there. People have a tendency to forget exactly what the government is.
And you're absolutely right. And, Chris, the great tragedy that people have forgotten is that Chinese people are wonderful, productive, intelligent, capable people. but they are ruled by a ruthless communist regime which was brought to power with the full help and support of the Anglo-American establishment and the American State Department, which put an embargo on the weapons available to General Chiang Kai-shek's Nationalist Army immediately after the Second World War. We would not allow them to buy weapons anywhere in the world. It didn't matter that Congress appropriated $125 million at that time, which would be equivalent probably to, you know, probably $15 billion today, for money that for arms to be sent to General Chiang Kai-shek to keep China from going communist. And the United States State Department, the Council on Foreign Relations, controlled it in their wisdom, kept those ships loaded with weapons in the ports in San Francisco and Los Angeles for a year and a half. And when the weapons finally arrived and they opened the cases, the rifles didn't have any bolts in them and were useless. And if you want to verify that story, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, and as for the McCarran Committee report, actually it was a report from the Senate Subcommittee on Internal Security, it was the American State Department that brought this ruthless, tyrannical, inhumane government to power in communist China, and just as we've kept the communists in power in Cuba, and certainly in South Africa and Rhodesia and Southwest Africa. Yes, and even in Russia today, where, of course, Putin actually came from the KGB. Putin came from the KGB, and our president looked into his eyes and said, I knew I could trust him. We are, of course, men and women here in America are responsible for all of these things going on because our government's been taken over by people who have a different agenda, who have a different worldview. And I believe in many instances, worship a different God. Well, let's go to Peter calling from New York. Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. How are you?
Doing fine. Are you in the Big Easy there?
You were in New York. Yep, New York State.
New York State and New York City.
Day by day.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I wanted to say, because I just quickly touch on the China subject. I've dealt with a lot of good friends from China that have been in the United States a short time, and they're wonderful, hardworking people and very family-oriented. But unfortunately, they really, on the whole, I think, have been really brainwashed by their government, by their system, to believing that it's a system that really has done no wrong to the rest of the world and continues to operate above board. And so I think you're dealing with, probably as you know, a group of very well-meaning people that have unfortunately been brainwashed since birth.
So like the American people.
Like the American people as well. But unfortunately, the communist is even not much worse. Government that really pushes it. But my question really, because the only way you could just save the world is to save America first. And my question is just a quick two-part. I've been analyzing gold and silver since around 2000, 2001, and from all indications and from a lot of experts that are beginning to jump on board, including J.P. Morgan Chase and Citicorp are jumping on the gold wagon now, they seem to be pointing the indicators to anywhere to 2,000 to 3,000 to possibly 5,000 an ounce, which sounds, way out of the scope of reality, but with the current personal debt and national debt, Melody, what would be your thoughts on that as far as what gold prices could reach within the next 5 to 10 years?
I think we could very easily see 2,000. I mean, if we just adjust it for inflation, it'd be over 2,100, and so I do believe it will get there. I think there's when we talk about 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. I think it's very possible.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone really knows exactly, but I think it's very possible. It was only 4 years ago I had talked to someone we had talked about on my radio program about rhodium. It was trading at $400. That's quickly approaching 10,000 in just 4 years.
Yeah. Well, I think people have been
what
so startled
it
because
shows what
it's
the metals can do.
They've never seen these levels before, so I think that's why there's been a lot of profit taking. We even want to get up to 1,000 an ounce.
Right.
Well, sure. A lot of people who get in the gold market now, they don't understand the fundamentals. They treat gold as they trade it, and they get out of it as soon as you have a little bit of a pullback because they don't understand the strength behind it and what is really moving gold. And so anytime we hit highs like we do at 1,000, it's going to shake out the weak buyers, and which makes it all the better for the long-term buyers and holders of gold. So it forms that base, and I think, I can't believe that even gold is still trading and they can put as much pressure on it. I mean, we have oil trading at 126. Sure, the dollar strengthened a little bit, but has anybody, I mean, it's still low, and it's all the fundamentals for and the trend for the dollar is down. So I think gold will catch up, and but they, you know, they can't. It's difficult for to allow them. And I'll tell you what, when they push gold down, and they trade hands in gold in these central banks, there's a lot of big buyers in there. Physical buying has been strong.
And I think
probably just don't want to cause a panic.
Peter, I think that
gold price goes too high too quickly, maybe.
I think that's exactly the case. I think that people have to understand this is not a means of getting wealthy. It is a means of preserving your wealth. This is really what it's all about. If you got wealthy on it, all the better. But you just want to preserve what you, you know, worked so hard for, because most people are going to lose what they've worked so hard for because they don't understand inflation. Did you have a second question?
Yeah, a quick other question was, when you're talking about the other agenda that a lot of politicians and world leaders have, I mean, how it seems the most powerful force that influences people it seems to be the media, whether it's TV or print. How do you recommend usurping that power? You know, because on a grassroots level, it's almost impossible. I mean, what would your recommendation be to affect?
So what are your thoughts on that, Melody, and then I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah, go ahead.
How to affect the grassroots for the new media?
I think it's basically how are we going to reach people when the media is under control?
And has so much power over the masses that, you know, the average person gets so brainwashed that, you know, it's hard for any grassroots movement to usurp the major billions and billions of dollars that control the, you know, the mass media.
Number one, we have to pray for them, but number two, when their bellies go hungry, you know, when they become affected to such a degree, they will begin to look around and want to know what happened to them.
Yeah,
and they will be reaching out and searching for information.
Peter, right now, I really believe the only way we have of reaching mass numbers of people are number one, talk radio, and number two, internet radio, three, YouTube, and YouTube is a wonderful means of getting ideas out. And, of course, I'm more encouraged. I've been at this for 46 years. I'm more encouraged than I've ever been because we have an opportunity to reach more and more people. And if it were just me alone, why, we couldn't accomplish very much. But Melody has her own program, and Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and Jack Blood and Jeff Rentz and a multitude of people I could mention, Gianna Hayes, Lori Roth we had on our program this last week. So many people out there getting educated and educating others. So, and actually, if you read an analysis of what's going on, fewer people are going to the evening news for their source of information, and more people are going on the Internet. And all we can do, of course, is train an army of people out there with the truth. And then as things get worse, people are going to be looking for answers, and our people are going to be out there, and I hope you're going to be one of them who have the answers and can explain to people exactly what's going on. And then the spiritual dimension of the study. I believe that the other side is frightened to death, that the American people are beginning to wake up. And believe me, America's the key to the world. Europe's not going to save itself. England is not going to save itself. If the world is going to be saved, the battle is right here.
Thanks, Dr. Santamelli. More power to you. All the best. Thanks so much.
God bless. And let's go. And we actually lost Cecilia, who was holding on from Washington State, and she was to be our next caller. So if she wants to call back, we'd be glad to take her call. Otherwise, let's go to Ron, who's calling from Richland, Washington. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Melody, I have a question. If someone was to purchase gold, what sort of insurance should they purchase?
Gold is the insurance.
No, but I mean, if I have my money in the bank, and the bank burns down, I could still, well, the FDIC will still give me money. If somebody robs a bank, my money's, I can still get my money back. Well, if I bought gold, could I insure it somehow?
Well, number one, I'm not so sure the FDIC is as solvent as what they lead everyone to believe. Everything carries a risk. But, I mean, you're talking about taking those, and you're losing more money holding your cash in the bank. I mean, if you look at what the CD rates pay, and you take the rate of inflation and the amount of tax that you have to pay on the interest, you're losing money. So, of course, everything is a risk. And, of course, the type of insurance, I don't know if you mean the type of insurance that you buy to preserve your gold.
Yeah, well, to in case it got stolen or a fire or something.
Well, you know what? That's another part of the conditioning. We're conditioned to believe that everybody's going to be breaking in our houses, that our houses are going to burn down. Most houses don't have 100% burn. You know, they only burn because the fire responses are so quick. And, of course, you have to be a little, you have to be a little smart in preserving your gold. You know, if you have a large volume of it, you purchase a safe. Safes have burn times. You have to get a safe that has a two-hour burn time. And it also has a burglar-proof time. So there's things that you can do to preserve and to protect your holdings of gold. But that's exactly what they want people to think. They want to think that they can't make their decisions, that they can't control their finances, that it has to be in the banks, and that the banks are the best place for your money. I had a customer who pulled money out of bank, and the branch manager says, well, what are you going to do with it? She says, it's none of your business. She says, well, what about theft? You're going to, you know, somebody's going to break it and steal it. She says, you're the only one that knows I have it. You know, so that's the very key.
Hey, Ron, gold has been the storehouse of wealth for thousands of years before they had insurance policies. And, of course, I think that if you want to know how to guarantee it, what you do, you would diversify it, you would put it in many places. But, of course, you'd want to have it someplace. You can always go there. You can always spend gold, but you can't always spend paper money. Thanks very much for calling. And, Melody, I want you to go ahead and get your telephone number and your website out there.
That was a great question, too, Dr. Sam, because so many people are concerned about that. They don't feel they're capable of protecting it. And there's so many things that a person can do to ensure that it is safe. And so don't allow that to keep you from purchasing and preserving your wealth.
And let me just point out that if the worst thing could happen, your house would burn down. But you can't burn gold. I mean, it'll still be there. It may be melted, but it still has the intrinsic value. And I'll tell you what, whole banking system is going up in flames today. And, of course, the one thing that has held its value for at least 5,000 years have been precious metals. So I think that you can always create all sorts of fears in people's hearts, but I think it's about time people understood that you cannot trust a fiat money system. It failed in ancient Florence today. It failed in ancient Venice. It's failed time and time again throughout history, and it's failing right now. How can people get in touch with you?
They can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. If they'd like to visit the website, Discount Gold and Silver Trading. DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net. And, of course, they can email us at DiscountGoldAndSilver@Yahoo.com. DiscountGoldAndSilver@Yahoo.com.
Okay, fine. Let's go to Pete, who's calling in from Salinas. Hi, Pete. Did you have a question or comment?
Good evening, Dr. Stan and Melody.
Hello.
I have an answer when people ask you what you need to do to insure your gold and silver. For every ounce of gold and silver, you should buy one packet of corn or tomato seeds. I think that the best hedge is gold, silver, and homegrown tomatoes. What do you think, Melody?
I thought you were going to say for every ounce you buy a cartridge.
Well, that's another option, of course. But I'm not, as you were saying, I'm not living in fear. I want to live with my finances secure, and what I put on my table I control as well.
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead,
Peter. Victory Gardens as well as gold.
Absolutely.
Are going to make a roaring comeback.
Now, of course, the other important thing is a personal relationship with our Lord, because
Absolutely.
This is a spiritual battle.
Absolutely, Dr. Stan, absolutely. I should have included that at the top of the list for the Lord's blessings.
Amen to that. Anything else you want to say, Pete, before we let you go?
That was all. Thank you for the great work you do. And, Melody, keep up the good work. I'm going to dial 1-800-375-4188 tomorrow.
All
4188.
Right.
Thank you. I'll look forward to speaking with you.
Okay.
Melody.
Good night, Peter. And that was Peter calling from Salinas. And so we've got about 2.5 minutes before we have to let Melody go. Melody, do you have what are your parting thoughts for our listeners this evening?
You know, of all the years that I've done this, I don't recall an owner of gold having problems with fire in their home. I might have had a burglar or two. Most of them were other family members. Main thing is I did have several customers that have passed on, and they didn't tell anyone where it was at. So then I would have family members coming and asking me if I knew where he might have put it. So you do have to tell someone and take all precautions. But everything carries a risk. To me, gold carries the least amount of risk. When you look at our world today in which we live, I can't imagine why anybody would want to be anyplace else but gold. Wall Street, as far as I'm concerned, it's part of the beast system. It's corrupt. It's corruption. And I don't want to have any part of that. And it is difficult. And because we've been conditioned to put our trust in these various financial areas, and you shouldn't allow taxes or penalties to make be a part of your decisions in what you do with your funds. It is your money. You worked hard for it, but taxes and penalties will usually keep you from doing something that you should do. So you shouldn't put them in the equation. You shouldn't chase yields. And you want to be smart about your gold and silver investments. Keep it simple. Keep it basic. 80% gold, 20% silver. And, of course, that fluctuates depending on the individual's investment objectives. And then we break down and we be diversified in the various coins. And I'm probably the only one that does portfolios based on the suitability of customers, because a person who has $5,000 to spend, my recommendation would probably be different than someone who had more. So we do take that into play. So we'd be more than happy to review your portfolios, and all you have to do is give us a call.
All right, fine. Well, I guess it's been Melody Cederstrom, and she's with Discount Gold and Silver Trading. That's Well, this is Dr. Stan. Melody, one more time, get out your telephone number and, of course, your website.
800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
Good night. God bless you. We'll
Good night.
Talk
God
to you
bless
later.
Dr.
Bye-bye.
Stan.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was Melody Cederstrom. Always a pleasure having Melody with us. And then, of course, this is the time when I certainly want to mention that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who believe in our message, who are in a position to help, just to give us a hand. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or subscribe to the newsletter, or simply get some of our material, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have an excellent talk, at least I think it's excellent, and a lot of people have told me that they've enjoyed it. It's called The Financial Tsunami. It's a DVD or video, and it simply goes into the background of what's happening today. And there's a syllabus that goes with that. We think it's important that you have, because it'll begin to teach you all of these terms that they use intentionally to confuse you. That's The Financial Tsunami, with or without the syllabus. And then, of course, we have the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, written by Ed Griffin, which explains to you how this fiat money system works. And it's all built upon debt, and there's nothing behind the currency. And, of course, the Federal Reserve System simply expands the money supply and creates great times. I mean, everybody's got money, but the money's going down in value all the time. And, of course, inflation is running today, by independent evaluations, in the neighborhood of 12%, and anticipated to go up as high as 15-18% within a year, because that's where the M3 is, and the government refuses to print it and tell you what it is, because they say it's just, it's just too difficult to evaluate. The truth of the matter is they're lying to you. They know, of course, what's happening to the value of our currency. They know it's falling out dramatically, as other countries in the world do. But the American people don't understand. That's why, of course, you need to get my talk on the financial tsunami, and then Ed Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's The Creature from Jekyll Island. And I hope somebody said they just can't hear us. I hope that we're coming through better now. Anyway, of course, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, and then, of course, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, written by Professor Sutton. We think it's an important book. And then, of course, we have the pamphlets of the financial meltdown, and then the pamphlet on the history of money. We recommend these to you, and if you actually read all of these things, you'll know more than most college professors about what's really going on today, and hopefully you'll be in a position to protect yourself and protect your wealth. Well, again, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many of you will go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs live 4 hours a day, archive 3 hours, and our MP3 3 hours a day. We have a live feed to our satellite, and you can listen there 9 hours a day. You won't get anything accomplished, but you'll certainly get a lot of information. You'll hear Joyce Riley and some of our other friends on that satellite feed. And then, of course, we do hope you'll watch our videos or on our website, read our newsletter. Feel free to pull them down and copy them. And anything we put out, we give you our permission to duplicate, as long as you're not making a profit on it. And if you make a profit, if you'll share it with us, we'll appreciate it. And then, of course, to understand the spiritual forces at work, you need my talk on the forbidden secret. The forbidden secret and the syllabus goes with that. The planned police state. And the syllabus goes with that. Iraq, the untold story, going into the background of all the wars of the last century and how they were all contrived to bring about the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. So again, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like an emergency food catalog or a health product catalog or simply a catalog of our various books and videos and tape sets, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927, and please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Stand back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the Views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, of course, this next hour, they're going to be the views of Lindsay Williams. Hi, Lindsay. How you doing?
Dr. Sand, thank you so very much for allowing me to be with you tonight at a time that gasoline is $3.70 a gallon, right at $4. Diesel fuel, $4.40 a gallon. Crude oil hit an all-time record high of $126 a barrel. The dollar is plummeting, and the farmers cannot plant their crops this year because of the price of fertilizer tripling or four times more than it was last year, plus the price of diesel fuel. Dr. Stan, if ever it's a time that everything you've predicted in the past and all those things you've said over Radio Liberty, they are coming to pass, and you know, people sometimes call me a prophet, and I say, no, I'm not. I just happened to be with the elite and heard them talk about what they were going to do. But Dr. Stan, I'm going to have to admit, you're as much of a prophet as anybody else with all the truth you've told over the years.
Well, I'm certainly not a prophet. I'm just an observer, and of course, I've read what the other side says. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get the prices up so high that the farmers won't be able to plant the crops because they want famine. They want to get the prices of gasoline up so high that we can't afford to drive our cars over in Great Britain, over in England. Why? Oil, gasoline is actually approaching $10 a gallon. That's in Great Britain today. And we're not even hearing about that here in America. They control the media. So the average American has no idea what's happening in Europe and, of course, what their gasoline prices have been. We've certainly been very, very fortunate to have low gasoline prices. But those days will soon become simply a remembrance of things past. And, of course, you've been on the front lines of this battle since you were actually working there as a chaplain on the when they were building the pipeline from Prudhoe Bay to Alaska. So why don't you tell our listeners what you learned at that time and how these things are coming to pass today and how there really is no oil shortage. This has all been created artificially for the benefit of the people in the oil cartel, and they're making fabulous profits. Go ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, I learned, basically in a nutshell, that what you and I are talking about tonight and what you talk about on your program almost every day, it positively is not a conspiracy. I am not a conspiratorialist. I don't believe in a conspiracy since I experienced what I saw on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. I believe in an agenda. Everything these people are doing, it was planned in advance. Well, I'll just go back very briefly in case we have some new listeners tonight. I went to Alaska as a missionary many years ago. Just after I arrived there, they said they were going to build the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline from the huge new oil find in northern Alaska on the Arctic Ocean, America's oil field. And they said that 25,000 pipeliners were going to converge on Alaska to build that pipeline. The first thing that came to my mind as a missionary was 25,000 of the roughest, toughest, cussingest, orneriest, drinkingest folks on the face of the earth, they must need some spiritual guidance. So I went to Alaska Pipeline Service Company and I said, don't you need a chaplain on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline? They said, well, we don't know what to do with you. Well, finally they allowed me on the pipeline, gave me the Northern Seven Work Camps. I'm quite sure they thought I was
last. Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Okay, Lindsay, pick the story up there.
But I stayed on, and about 6 months later, Mr. R.H. King came to me, and he said, Chaplain, you're saving us thousands of dollars of counseling fees we aren't having to pay. He said, we have just voted to give you executive status if you'll accept it. And I said, well, Mr. King, what does that mean? He said, well, it means you go any place you'd like, see anything you'd like to see. And he said, we want you to stay in executive dorms when you get to Prudhoe Bay once a week. And he said, we would like to invite you to sit in on our board meetings in an advisory capacity in order to help the relationship between management and labor. Now, Dr. Stan, there is no way in this world, except by the providence of God, that a little unknown, insignificant aviation missionary out in the bush of Alaska could have ever sat in the board meetings with the people we hear about in the World Bank and the IMF, and the top oil company officials of the world, except by the providence of God, is the only way it could have happened. I heard things. I heard things that changed my life. I believed in people being honest. I'd been brought up in a Christian home, pastored a church for 12 years, and all of a sudden I'm thrown into the midst of a den of thieves, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. If someone had asked me when I first went to Alaska, Lindsay, do you believe there's a group of people who control the world? I'll admit to you, Dr. Stan, I would have laughed at them and said, who are you, a John Bircher? If someone had asked me after I wrote my book, Energy Non-Crisis, do you believe there is a group of people who tell the president what to do, dictate to Congress what bills to pass, tell the Arabs what they're going to give them for a barrel of oil, and dictate the and determine the currencies of the world, I would have said, not only do I believe it, I sat and listened to them talk about it. I heard them talk about a 30-year plan. And I've watched them carry it out meticulously, exactly as they said. I heard them talk about the fact that in the early 60s, they chose crude oil as a method of controlling the world. It's the only thing that touches the life of every human being, whether they're living in a cardboard shack in a third world country or living in a multi-million dollar mansion in America. There's only one thing that will control the life of every human being, and that's the standard currency of the world, which is crude oil. It's not the dollar. Standard currency of the world is not the dollar, nor the euro, nor the ruble. It is crude oil. Now, you say, what did I learn in those days? I learned that all of these things that you and I are talking about are positively not a conspiracy. They are a well-planned agenda. They know exactly what they're doing. They plan it in advance. They create the problem, and then they create the solution.
Hold that thought, Lindsay. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lindsay was simply talking about the fact that he had the opportunity of sitting in the executive meetings of the oil companies and the other people who rule the world on a regular basis and hear them talk about their 30-year agenda and how, of course, oil was going to become the major currency of the world. Everybody needs oil and the things that it produces, because it's not simply fueling our cars, but it's producing our plastic, it's producing our fertilizer. Oil is the most important product we have, and they talked about how they were going to actually manipulate the price over this over a 30-year period, and as Lindsay says, they've carried out their agenda point by point, and he actually had the opportunity of hearing them planning on how they were going to control the world. This is not imaginary, it's very real, and certainly Lindsay lays this all out in his book, The Energy Non-Crisis, which Lindsay will tell you a little later how to get the book. We think it's an important book. In fact, we have an Amazon store, and it's interesting how many people want that book today all over the world. People are clamoring to get Lindsay's book. So, Lindsay, go ahead, pick up the story. You were telling us how you sat there, you heard these men who control the oil companies and people representing financial interests sitting there, and you were simply listening quietly as they were planning on how they were going to control us over the next 30 years. And of course, that was the mid-1970s. This is the year, Sydney, is 32 years later, somewhere in there, and everything that they were talking about has come to pass, hasn't it?
Well, Dr. Stan, I wouldn't doubt anyone doubting my story. In fact, I oftentimes remark, if I had not lived my story, I would have a difficult time believing it myself. And I remember one day, you know, I have a great respect for you, Dr. Stan. Your newsletter is a masterpiece. Your radio programs are marvelous. But one day you asked me, you said, Lindsay, you know, you've been on my program numbers of times. He said, I really would like to document what you're saying. I'd like to prove. And I'm glad you said that. Because I could put you in touch with Mr. Jim Lawler. You called him. He had been the equipment man at Atlantic Richfield on the Prudhoe Bay Arctic Slope when I was there. And I gave you his phone number. And I said, Dr. Stan, give him a call and find out whether my story is really true or not. And you did. And I am so glad you did, because you found out that Mr. Ken Fromm wrote that chapter, If Gull Island Didn't Blow Your Mind, This Is, and revised my book and made it love perfect. And, you know, it would be interesting for you to tell the listening audience some of the things that you heard Mr. Jim Lawler say when you asked him about my book, Energy Non-Crisis.
Well, I will tell you that I did contact Mr. Lawler, who was up on the Alaska Pipeline construction, along with Lindsay. And I asked him about Sarnia, this massive oil field that's off the north slope of Prudhoe Bay. And he said, you know, I've never understood why they've never developed that massive oil field up there. I mean, certainly it's all ready to be developed. We know what is there, but they've never developed. I've never understood that. And of course, I didn't want to give him the three-hour lecture on how this is all contrived. Of course, they want the energy crisis that they've developed. They want to get us out of our cars. They want to run the prices up. They want to impoverish the American people and create famine throughout the world. But I was fascinating that he verified exactly what Lindsay was saying. And so we had an interesting conversation with Mr. Jim Lawler, and I appreciate so much your letting me talk to him, giving me the background. And he, of course, I'd asked him if he could come on my radio programs. He said he was still, of course, working for the oil companies. He didn't want to endanger his job, knowing full well that if he did bring out the truth, why, he could very well have them come after him, and these are not nice people. They might fire him. They might, of course, destroy his ability to get a pension or another job. They might very well kill him, because I would not put a murder beyond these people. These people have no moral compass at all, because, of course, they have a whole different worldview than common people like you and I who believe in the Lord. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Well, that's exactly what happened to Mr. Ken Fromm, the very thing that Jim Lawler feared. The days that I saw the Gull Island oil field described in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, entitled If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. And after the first edition of my Energy Non-Crisis book came out, I had a chapter in that entitled Gull Island Will Blow Your Mind, but not the sequel to that. And I was sitting in my home in Kosilof, Alaska one day, and on the other end of the line, Mr. Ken Fromm, senior executive with Atlantic Richfield, the very top. You can't get any higher than that unless you go to the CEO of Atlantic Richfield. And, oh, he was angry. He was so mad, he was beside himself. And I said, Ken, what's wrong with you? He said, Lindsay, you remember the day that I allowed you in that room with those top eight oil company officials of the world, and you saw the documentation on the Gull Island oil field? I said, yes, remember it well. And he said, do you remember that it was ordered classified within 24 hours? I said, yes. He said, I was not supposed to have let you in there that day. And he said, Atlantic Richfield found out that I was the one that allowed you to see that information, and you dared to write it in your book, Energy Non-Crisis. And he said, Lindsay, they have just fired me. I said, what? They can't. You, the top man at Prudhoe Bay. I said, what do you mean? You're only a few years away from retirement. You're a career man. He said, well, they have. They fired me because I let you see that, and it was never supposed to get out. And he said, Lindsay, there are just a few things in your book, Energy Non-Crisis, that are not letter perfect. You're a minister, not an oil patch man. He said, would you allow me to rewrite your book for you so that they can never discredit it? I said, I would love it, Ken. We sat down for about 30 days' time. He completely rewrote my book, Energy Non-Crisis, and he said, I want to add a chapter. I said, what? He said, I want to add a chapter entitled, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. Mr. Ken Fromm, senior executive of Atlantic Richfield, personally wrote that chapter. Then when the next edition of my book came out just after that, I had another phone call one day, and Ken Fromm was on the other end of the line, and he sounded much better. I said, Ken, how you doing? He said, well, Lindsay, glad I helped you when I did. He said, Atlantic Richfield has just hired me back, given me a much larger salary, and promised me a tremendous pension in 2 or 3 years when I retire. Sent me to Houston to train people going to Prudhoe Bay, and he said, told me I can't talk to you anymore. Well, instead of killing him, they bought him, and I'm quite sure that Mr. Jim Lawler was fearful of the same thing if he appeared on your program. But these people have everything. Some of the people that I sat with, some of these executives, they could have written a check for $1 million a day for the rest of their life and never spent their fortune. The name of the game is control. It's not necessarily money. Even though Exxon last year made more profits than any corporation in the history of the world in a 12-month period, yet that is not the main issue. The main issue is what you talk about on your program all the time, Dr. Stan. They want total control of humanity, the world, nations, our president, our monetary system, And it is a matter of control that they're after, Dr. Stan.
I believe that absolutely. In fact, Lee Raymond, who is the CEO of Exxon, when he retired, I think it was 2005 or 2006, he was given, as a parting gift, just a little gift of $400 million, $400 million for Lee Raymond when he retired. I understand, ladies and gentlemen, Gracie had, I'm sure, lots of other stock options and all sorts of money, but here was the CEO of Exxon Corporation, $400 million, a little tiny golden parachute money left there. People can't even understand the amount of money that's involved in the oil business. And Lee Raymond, of course, going along with creating the artificial shortages, creating, of course, great profits for Exxon, was well rewarded for his treachery and betrayal of his obligation to do what was right by the people of our country. So I think it's important that people understand that what's going on today is totally contrived. There is plenty of oil, but, of course, they've been able to create oil shortages and use the government to prevent competition. That's what the name of the game is. And, of course, they prevented the wildcatters from coming in. And so we've talked to people who represent the wildcatters who said if it just give us a floor of $25 a barrel for oil so it couldn't go below that, we'd get more oil than you know what to do with. And of course, this was about 2 years ago when I talked to him, and you'll hear my interview on our four tapes out on oil, but he said, you know, the wildcatters are afraid to go into the oil drilling business because if they do, they know, of course, the big boys will lower the price of oil down below their cost, our cost of production, and bankrupt the wildcatters. They've done it time and again through the years, through the decades, and they'll do it again. We want a floor, a guaranteed price for oil of $25 a barrel. And, of course, they tried to get the legislation through Congress, and there was no way, of course, that the finest politicians money could buy there and the Congress would give them a floor for oil. They say, oh, well, we want a free enterprise system. We do not have a free enterprise system. We have an oil cartel made up of about five major oil companies that dominate the oil of the world. Now, of course, we have China Petrol and a few others that are coming on board, largely, of course, financed by people here in America like Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett, financing a communist oil company that, of course, funded the government of Sudan that's slaughtering the people in Darfur. And they're doing it, of course, with the money that they got right here in America, raising money on American markets. Well, Lindsay, how high do you think the price of oil is going to go right now? I think it's a little off the $126 a barrel, but I think that it's going to go up a great deal higher. What do you think?
The day that I watched that Gull Island oil field brought in, and I was standing in the office of Mr. Ken Fromm with these eight top oil company officials of the world, and after...
Go right ahead.
After Ken said, Lindsay, we will bring in that oil field whenever we get the price of crude oil where we want it. And I said to him, I said, Ken, where do you want the price of crude oil? He said, I can't tell you right now. Well, I can tell you where it is, where it's going. Recently, one of my informants on the oil field said, Lindsay, the price of crude oil is going to $150 a barrel.
I believe it. And, of course, this is going to destroy the airline industry and the trucking industry. But I think one of the biggest things is the farming industry. And when we get back, of course, we'll be talking about that with Lindsay Williams. And hang on to your hats, folks, and understand that it's not happening by accident. It's happening by extent, by those who would impoverish the American people. Well, Lindsay, you mentioned at the very beginning of the program that a lot of the farmers are not going to be putting in their crops this year. Now, I know you've talked to the farmers in the past and their farmers' representatives. Do you think that this is really a possibility that they will not put their crops in this year?
Oh, definitely. In fact, I had heard a heart-rending story. Just call me from southeast Colorado the other day where 40% of our food supply for America is grown. And I said, oh, you folks must be doing wonderful down there. The price of corn has gone up so high. The price of wheat is up. The price of soybeans, all of the other things you grow up. Oh, no, they said, Jeff and Williams, quite to the contrary. I said, why not? They said, we're paying now so much more for diesel fuel. They said the price of fertilizer has gone up four times, fourfold, in the past 1 year. They said the price of the equipment that we have to use has gone up so much. They said we're actually making less now than we did before the price of wheat and the corn and the other things went up. They said there is no possible way that we can make a profit on the crop that we're going to plant this spring. They said if ever you need to tell the American people that we positively are going to have grocery store shelves with blank spots on them and there is going to be a shortage, they said, Lindsay, tell the world, because they said we cannot continue the way we're going as farmers.
Well, that, of course, is rather a frightening concept, that a lot of our farmers would not be able to afford to plant their fields. Now, what would they do? Just let them go fallow? Would the government subsidize them for not growing the crops as they have in the past?
Well, they just positively can't afford to tend their crops at the price of diesel fuel. I remember back when a while back when I was in Southeast Colorado, and they said if it goes over $3 a gallon for diesel fuel, they said we can't afford to make a profit. Well, then the price of corn and soybeans and other things went up. But now they say it has far outweighed it with $4.50 and $5 a gallon for diesel fuel. So they said we're in worse shape than we were before. And, of course, this is affecting the American dollar. Oh, if only the American people realize that the standard currency of the world is crude oil, and what it is doing to the dollar because of the purchasing power and the crude oil prices going up as a result, the whole world is scared to death of the American dollar. Let me give you the nations that as of the end of March have said we are no longer going to use the American dollar as our reserve currency. Now, let me try to describe the reserve currency a little bit quickly. You want something for a rainy day, or you think you might lose your job someday, so you'd like something to back up on. So you go down to the bank, and you deposit X number of dollars in a savings account. That is reserve currency. You leave it there for a tough time. Now, the nations of the world have the same thing. And since it has always been as sound as the dollar, they have used the American dollar as their reserve currency, almost every nation on the face of the earth. Well, now because of our $9.2 trillion national debt, because the dollar is collapsing in its value, as a result, these nations are losing major amounts of money on the currency that they hold. For instance, China holds $1 trillion of American paper. We buy tangibles from them. We give them back paper. They hold T-bills, dollars, paper dollars, and so on. Now, as a result of the $1 trillion paper that they hold, they have lost $7 billion in its purchasing power and value in the past 12 months.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Lindsay Williams. He's talking about how many nations are refusing to hold the American dollar as a reserve currency, or trying to get rid of the American dollar as a reserve currency. Why? Because, of course, the value of our currency is falling. And so you go own $1 trillion, American dollars, and of course, the price of the dollar falls at about 17% as it has in the last 2 years. It means that you used to have $1 trillion, and now, of course, you've got 17% less. And you don't have to be very smart to realize that if you hold those dollars long enough and the dollar continues falling, well, you're losing, of course, what you've worked so hard to gain. That is, of course, what the problem is with inflation. And, of course, America has been exporting its inflation to other countries, but other countries are getting sick and tired of that, and they don't want to hold the American dollar any longer because they know that the people in charge here of our monetary system are destroying the value of their holdings. So pick the story up from there, Lindsay.
Well, the countries in the world who have held the American dollar as their reserve currency have lost approximately 25% of its value just within the past year, year and a half. As a result, here, I'm going to list them for you, the nations that as of the end of March of 2008 have said we no longer will use the American dollar as our reserve currency. Now, this is drastic because when these nations dump the dollar, that means trillions of American dollars are floating around in the world unused. Nobody out there to buy our T-bills and our Federal Reserve issues, which pays the interest on our national debt, and then that causes the dollar to go down even further. And here are the nations that as of the end of March of 08 have said, we will not use the American dollar as our reserve currency anymore. Here it is, China, Kuwait, Switzerland, Ecuador, Syria, Libya, South Korea, Argentina, Iran, Russia, Malaysia, Brazil, some Balkan countries. This is so startling. If the American people only realized that people don't want our T-bills, they don't want our Federal Reserve issues, they don't want our American dollar anymore, and as a result, the dollar is collapsing, and it is, the dollar will collapse in order to be able to bring in the North American Union.
And I really
want the dollar to collapse, in my estimation, so that they can bring in the new currency, the Amero. And it's only a matter of time until they do this, Dr. Stan.
And I think you're absolutely right. I believe that what is happening is not by accident. I think it's by intent. And, of course, it was in Alan Greenspan's wonderful book, The Age of Turbulence. He talks about Lenin. He said Lenin said there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch its currency. And not one person in a million will understand what's going on. Well, I hope that we have a few listeners out there, a few hundred thousand or tens of thousands of listeners that do understand what's going on, understand that they are debauching our currency. They're doing it intentionally. And if you can get this message to others, and they begin to understand that there are forces working behind the scenes that have no loyalty to America, that would destroy our sovereignty, and that's why they're not guarding our borders. That's why they object to having English, the official language of the United States. That's why, of course, we're sending money to countries all throughout the world when, of course, we don't have the money for many of the things that we really need to do here at home. This is why we're financing dictatorships throughout the world, over in the Near East. We're financing both the Jews and the Palestinian terrorist organizations, Fatah and Hamas, indirectly. In fact, Hamas was actually created by the American CIA. This is covered in a book we carry called The Devil's Game. That's The Devil's Game, a very important book. We recommend you get it. Going to how the CIA, MI6, actually created this whole Islamic terrorist movement. The finest money, I should say the finest enemy your tax money could buy. Well, our guest, of course, is Lindsay Williams, and I share his concern. Because when countries throughout the world refuse to accept the American dollar, and of course those dollars then have to be spent someplace, they will be spent here buying up our industries, buying up our corporations, and of course as those dollars return home here, they're going to be highly inflationary and simply heap fuel on the fire of inflation in this country. And I think we're right on the edge of some very drastic and frightening things that will of course reshape the world of the future. Well, when we get back, we'll invite your calls here for Lindsay Williams. Give us a call at 1-800-544-1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get information about my ministry, if you'd like to talk to Lindsay, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And we'll be back here in just a moment with Lindsay. And then, of course, when we come back with you, we're going to have him get his telephone number and his website out right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lindsay Williams. And Lindsay, we got about 3 minutes before we get all of our stations back on board and before I'm going to have you give out your telephone number and website. Sydney, the farmers now, is it just in South Dakota? Do you think it's all across the country that the farmers are going to hold back on planting their crops this year?
Oh, the farmers all across the nation, the ones that I know of and can actually document, were the ones where I was actually invited down for a speaking engagement some while back in southeast Colorado and northern Texas. Those I know, and if they're in that kind of position, most of the other farmers of the nation, I'm quite sure, are also. But in light of what you and I are giving in the way of documented facts tonight, Dr. Stan, I think everyone out in the audience can readily understand why this is not a conspiracy, but rather it is an agenda. Now, there's some other things happening in oil right now that are extremely startling. So let me go into the one about Charlene Chambers. Now, I know that name won't register with you necessarily. She's just an ordinary mother here in America, but she has a son who spent 18 months in Iraq. Now, he came home just recently, and he said to his mother, I am so angry. He said, I was given the job of guarding the oil pipeline in Iraq. Now, this is Iraq. You remember our president said, the oil in Iraq is going to pay for the war. Now, that hasn't happened. In fact, quite to the contrary, the taxpayer is having to continually dole out billions every few months. And so this man said, I was given the job of guarding the pipeline in Iraq. We have been told, and you'll listen to your media now, you'll hear this, we've been told all the oil isn't coming out of Iraq. Very little, if any, he says, quite to the contrary. He said, Mother, do you know anybody could help me get this story out? She said, yes. I've heard of a man by the name of Lindsay Williams. She contacted me. And she sent me a written testimonial of her son, who was in the 82nd Airborne, 18 months in Iraq, the job of guarding the oil pipeline. And I'm going to read you his statement. A number of things here. I'll just read one sentence. Oil is leaving Iraq so fast, it will make your head spin. He said, there are tanker loads of oil leaving out of Iraq almost every day. He said, massive amounts of crude oil are being taken from Iraq. But it's not paying for the war. Where is it going? I'll tell you where it's going. I mean, this man asked some questions. He was knowledgeable enough to want to know the issues.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lindsay is simply talking about the massive amounts of oil that are leaving Iraq today that are not being used to pay for the war. The Iraqi government is making a lot of money. But, of course, you and I are paying for the rebuilding of Iraq. And, of course, the American taxpayer is financing this. And, of course, sweetheart deals are being given to preferred contractors over there related to Kellogg, Brown & Root, that's Halliburton, that's Dick Cheney's company. Non-bid contracts are being given out. Tremendous profits are being made by friends of the current administration. And, of course, we are paying for this with the destruction of the value of our currency. Lindsay, tell us where the oil is going, because you were talking about this soldier who'd actually, with the 82nd Airborne, who'd been involved in guarding the Iraqi pipeline, and he was furious because the oil was being pumped out of Iraq very, very rapidly at the present time. Where is that oil going?
He said, he was knowledgeable enough to ask some questions. He said that he found out from reliable sources that it is going into underground storage facilities in Missouri, in the salt limestone cliffs, and other places in the Midwest, and who's making the money off of it? The president and the vice president. How can you go in a millionaire and come out a multi-billionaire? There's only one way you can do that. That's the standard currency of the world is crude oil. And folks, if you know, this young man came back so angry. He was beside himself. If you only knew the corruption that's in Washington, D.C. We have an oil war in Iraq. We have an oil president, an oil vice president. Every bit of it is according to an agenda as to what they're doing, Dr. Stan. And that's the very reason that I have produced the DVDs and are giving away my books, anything to help people know the truth, so that they can know the rest of the story and make preparation in light of what's happening.
Now, why don't you tell our listeners how to get in touch with your 800 number and your website and what you are offering?
Well, Dr. Stan, I would urge people to go to my website, lwoil.com, lwoil.com. We have daily postings. You'll hear things about the crude oil. Or if you'd like my package of DVDs, now, you can't buy them. That's right. You heard me correctly. I only sell you four of them. I'm going to give you four additional DVDs, which means that you will have eight DVDs. That's right. You view them on your television set in your home. 15 hours of a home library of everything to what's happening to the farmer, what's happening in crude oil, what's happening in banking. You had never seen such a varied subject matter of everything from 1960 through 2008. There's not a stone left unturned. Please jot down the number. The number is 800-321-2900. Now, I'm going to give you four DVDs as a gift when you buy my four DVD package, which means you'll have eight total, 15 hours of DVD viewing, and I'm going to give you a copy of my book, Energy Non-Crisis, as a gift. I'm going to give you a copy of my book, You Can Live, 263 pages, as a gift. And here's the best one of all. It's you, the survival guide. I beg of you to ask for it. Now, whether you want my DVDs or not, please call in and get the survival guide. I am so concerned about every American that I will even pay the postage to get this survival guide to you. You heard me correctly. The 800 number is toll-free, and the survival guide will even pay the postage to get it to you. You must be prepared in light of what's happening today. The number is 800-321-2900. But I hope that you will get my eight DVDs. You can only buy four of them. The other four I give you, along with my two books, 800-321-2900.
All right, fine. Thank you. And let's go to Tony, who's calling from Tucson, Arizona. And, of course, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888.
Tony in Tucson.
Okay, Tony, go ahead.
My experience with the Federal Reserve started many years back when I attended a meeting maybe we weren't supposed to be at, where they figured a way to control all American movement by taxing their heartbeat. And it was basically to get the farmers under control and then tax the sale of the seed with an income tax and the water and the fuel and the likes of that. But the next stage, this was done in Cleveland, Ohio at the, thing was called the Holiday Hotel about 1937. Mr. Roosevelt was involved with this particular meeting. The other one is that when, he entered into what they call a no-interest contract with the bankers in order to destroy and further debauch the American currency, because the original Federal Reserve banknote was numbered, and this money was loaned out based on a ledger entry of a valuable property to back up the printing of additional Federal Reserve notes. And when those notes were returned, they were supposed to burn them. Instead, they kept them in circulation.
Well, of course, the original Federal Reserve notes was backed by gold. That, of course, ended in August of 1971. But
all of the Federal Reserve banks had two vaults. One was supposed to be for the United States Treasury, which actually had the gold and silver certificates as well as the gold and silver coins, and the Federal Reserve Bank had their own vault, which they collected their interest and income from that. And then when those notes were returned back to them, they were supposed to destroy them. So that's why they were called legal tender notes, and they were to be redeemed back to gold and silver coin. When in 1970 they stopped issuing the gold and silver coins or backing, that Nixon had something to do with that, those Federal Reserve notes became illegal and unlawful.
You're absolutely right. And thanks so much, Tony. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And the thing was, of course, when the Federal Reserve system was established back in 1913, there was to be a 40% gold backing for our currency. Of course, we had that through the Great Depression, but they took the right of the American people to own gold away from the people back in 1933. But there was still gold backing for our currency, gold and silver backing. The silver backing was removed in about 1965. The gold backing was removed in August 15th, 1971. But you have to realize, of course, that gold backing was removed only temporarily. And, of course, the trouble is that when the government says it's temporary, you know it's going to be permanent. So the caller is asking Lindsay if he believes the oil price will actually go to $150, or do you think they may drop the price of oil at some time in the future?
The price of oil is not going to come down. In fact, someone said to me the other day, they said, you're behind times. They're already predicting $200 a barrel. But yet a year and a half ago when I was saying $150 a barrel, people almost laughed at me. And now they're saying, oh my goodness, we're almost there already. You see, the standard currency of the world is crude oil. And this is the reason for the issue about Iran. Iran is the first country ever on the face of the earth to say, we're going to do something besides go through the New York bankers. We are going to use other currencies for the sale and trade of crude oil. And as of approximately 2 months ago, they officially are now using their own oil bank. This is the first time this has ever happened in the history of crude oil that a country bypassed the cartel and the big bankers, used their own, and Iran's the third largest oil company in the country in the world, or producing country in the world, and they said, we are going to establish our own oil force. They did, as of about 2 months ago. That's why the issue about Iran and other nations joined them. Listen to the nations who joined Iran in using other currencies besides the American dollar for the sale and trade of crude oil. Venezuela, Nigeria, Bolivia, Russia, and some OPEC countries now have dropped the dollar peg and are using other currencies besides the American dollar. Well, this only diminishes the value of the American dollar even more to the point that right now the dollar positively is on the collapse because it's not used for the sale and trade of the one commodity that is the standard currency of the world.
Well, I certainly think that the dollar is in very, very real trouble. Some people are saying that maybe they're going to drop the price of oil before the election to help get John McCain elected. Do you think there's any possibility they're going to do that as a temporary thing, or do you think the price is just going to go up? And I realize, of course, that none of us know exactly what's going to happen, but at least somebody called in and asked that question.
Well, historically, the price of crude oil has gone down just before an election. This year, I'm not quite so sure they're going to have to do that because it looks as though they have their man right where they want him, right ready to step in as president, and he'll do exactly what George Bush is doing. So I really don't expect too much of a drop, maybe very slightly, but by the end of the summer, I think you're easily going to see $4, upwards of $4 at the gas pump, and you are going to see $150 a barrel. And it's going to take place pretty quick. When it gets to $126 a barrel, you don't have too much more to go to get to $150.
And you know, one of the things that really bothers me, I have been told by people who are in the know, and whether this is true or whether it's disinformation, I don't know, but they claim that we may well be at war with Iran before the elections, and the reason for that would be that actually we want to rally the people behind the government, and of course if Iran were to retaliate against Saudi Arabia or against our troops in Iraq, just because we killed a few 100,000 of their people, why of course they would be very very nasty and they would retaliate. They might even try somehow or other to retaliate against the United States, and with that as the situation, would you rather have Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, or John McCain in the White House? And most people certainly may not like John McCain. He's a liberal. He stands for everything we object to. But at least he's a military man. Many people look upon him as a war hero. And a war with Iran would be a very effective means of getting John McCain, who is the choice of the invisible government, of the Bilderbergers, certainly of the people who really run the world, into the White House. So whether that's going to occur, I have no inside information, but it's an interesting thing to contemplate. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Lindsay Williams. But certainly his information on oil has been accurate through the years. Even more frightening is the fact that, and I've heard him make this statement in the past, in fact I've watched his DVD on the farmers, and the farmers have said when oil and diesel get up too high, we're just not going to be able to plant. Of course, what you have to understand is not simply the price of diesel. It's the price of their fertilizers as well. And those two things together would actually discourage the farmers from planting. You know, it may be one thing, of course, to plant and not make a profit, but to actually plant your fields and then lose money on them. Why, of course, the farmer's not about to take the chance of doing that. Certainly the price of wheat and corn and soy, these other things has gone up, but the price that they're having to pay for their seeds and other things has gone up as well. Do we know anything about how high the price of seeds has gone up, Lindsay? Have you looked into that at all?
Yes, the price of everything that the farmers almost uses has gone up. The price of feed for cattle and the price of corn has caused the price of milk and eggs. Eggs went up $1 in 1 week just recently when I was buying them. And so all of this is going up because of what's happening in relation to that. But Iran, let's go back again. Now, Iran borders the Strait of Hormuz. On any given day, 40% of the crude oil in the world travels through the Strait of Hormuz. One super tanker downed in that very narrow strait where 40% of the oil of the world goes through on any given day would create a crisis that could take the price of crude oil to $200-$250 a barrel in just a matter of hours. You would be paying $12 and $15 a gallon at the gas pump. And Iran has said, if you do anything against us, we have the Strait of Hormuz already lined with silkworm missiles. We will use them. Do you realize what this would do to our armed forces? Do you realize the shortage of gasoline that this could create in just a matter of hours? So it is so critical over there in the Middle East right now that I just sit back almost shuddering to think what could happen if the Strait of Hormuz were closed.
And, of course, what's really frightening is we have people in the White House and the Bush administration want a war with Iran, and they want a war with Syria, and that's always been the plan. And at least I've been told, whether it's true or not, I can't say, but I've been told that they intend to take us to war before George Bush leaves the White House. Let's go to Ray, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hey, Ray, how are you doing? Haven't heard from you in a week or so.
Well, I had a question, though, for a little
right ahead.
I'm wondering, now, is there any possibility that we could start drilling up in Alaska, independent drillers or, you know, whoever would want to? Is there any way that Washington D.C. could allow anything like that to happen, or are they dead set against, or is it just the environmental groups that are funded by, you know, Rockefellers and the Fords and all that? They're keeping us from drilling in a place where we could get the oil, you know.
Well, what are your thoughts on that, Lindsay? Certainly, even if we started drilling tomorrow, why did it take us...
If Gull Island doesn't blow your mind, this will. That one oil field alone is as large as all of Saudi Arabia. And you'll read it, as Mr. Ken Fromm wrote it in my book, Energy Non-Crisis. If the oil alone from that oil field were allowed to be brought to the American refineries, which they can do it, because the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline Corridor was built to accommodate three pipelines, not one, but three. And after they built one, the federal government said, stop, you're not building any more. It wouldn't take but about a year to a year and a half to build two more pipelines down the same corridor, bring that oil out by tanker, and we could have right now a totally would not be obligated in any way to any of the oil countries of the world just by bringing it from what we already know is there.
Right.
The only place on the face of the earth you'll find this recorded is in my book, Energy Non-Crisis. But, okay,
but
now,
environmental groups are
carefully
blocking.
2 weeks ago, a person in Alaska contacted me and said, there has just been discovered and proven an oil field five times the size of Prudhoe Bay, just north of Birchwood, Alaska, Swanson River.
And that wouldn't have to be offshore drilling, so that'd be a lot easier to drill. And actually, as I remember your book, wasn't there another oil field up there besides the Gull Oil field that was even larger than Gull Oil?
Well, this is what Jim Lawler said one day.
Right.
He said, Lindsay, there's only one thing wrong with your book. He said, we found a number of other fields after you were there, and you don't even tell about them. He said, there's plenty of oil for hundreds of years.
And of course, ladies and gentlemen, this whole idea of peak oil is simply a scam. Hang on there, Ray. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Our guest has been Lindsay Williams. I hope you've enjoyed his information. You're not going to hear this from Rush Limbaugh or the other establishment commentators. Well, go ahead, Ray.
Well, they should. What they should do now? They're talking about. I heard in the news that they were talking about the oil that this administration has stored, some kind of a oil that's stored.
That's called the reserve.
Yeah.
Right.
So Bush is go ahead and he said it's okay. You know, I heard that he said it was okay to he didn't want to. The government to do anything with that oil, or how does that work?
Well, basically, of course, Mr. Bush has said that he will not stop putting more oil in there. Basically, what he's doing is creating an artificial shortage and facing skyrocketing prices. He's buying oil at the highest possible levels that, of course, then he's putting it into the ground. If he wanted to bring the price of oil down, they could do it tomorrow by simply opening up those reserves and flooding our country with oil. That is the last thing they want to do.
They don't want to do that, and because they've got people like Al Gore out there shouting and screaming about global warming. You know, I think it's a lot of nonsense, really, myself. I think that, I think there's, yes, the temperatures are, are changing, but it's no different than anything else that has happened during the history of the world, with climate change. We've experienced that, in the past couple thousand years. I don't think global warming should be should interfere with us getting that oil.
No, but it has nothing to do with global warming. It's the fact that they want the shortages. They want, of course, to get us out of our cars. And the best way to do that is to run the price up so high that at $10 a gallon, you're not going to be doing much driving, are you?
No, I know.
Okay, Ray, thanks very much for calling. Well, Lindsay, we've, of course, got about a minute for you to wrap up the program. As always, it's a pleasure to have you with us. But you have 1 minute.
Well, Dr. Stan, it has been a privilege to be with you. And all I need to say to your audience is, listen to everything that you hear Dr. Stan say day after day. He is telling you the truth. Believe it. And if ever you need to understand that this is not a conspiracy, it is an agenda. And if you would like the rest of the story, and we've only dealt with it for 1 hour, I've got 15 hours out there of everything from banking to oil to the farmers to the North American Union. Please call this number, 800-321-2900, and I beg of you, ask for our survival guide. We'll even send it to you free and pay the postage for it. If you'd like my 8 DVDs, I hope you'll get them. 800-321-2900. And Dr. Stan, when America's turned around, we're going to pat you on the back as one of the great old faithfuls of telling the story over the years. Say thank you, Dr. Stan, because it's cultural hosts like you to get the message out, so that America can't be turned around.
Well, God bless you. Thank you very much, Lindsay. We look forward to having you on one of our other programs one more time this week, and thanks for everything you've done. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, that was Lindsay Williams, and, of course, always a pleasure to have Lindsay with us. And, of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there and you listen to our programs and you agree with us, and you're in a position to help, why give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You can reach us at 1-800-544-8927. We carry Lindsay's book, The Energy Non-Crisis. You can get it from Lindsay. You can get it from us. And, of course, we carry a 4-tape set on oil, which you won't find any other place. And, of course, if you get any of those items, you'd like my newsletters, September and October of 2005, give you the truth about the oil scam. And believe me, it is a scam. And, of course, you can look it up on the Internet. You're welcome to pull them down on the Internet, September and October of 2005. Or if you get any of the other items we've talked about and you could request those newsletters, we'll send them for you. But there's a 4-tape set on oil, and there's Lindsay Williams' book, The Energy Non-Crisis, and it is a non-crisis. And you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that they've scammed the American people one more time. And the same thing, we're finding out that we're told there's a shortage of electricity in Great Britain. Oh, my goodness, they don't have the generating plants. Here in the United States, the price of electricity is going up. You must understand that this also is a scam. If you haven't got our four-tape set on electricity, seen our talk on video on electricity, gotten our syllabus on electricity, we have the documentation. And, of course, there was a conscious, determined effort to run up the price of electricity in the name of, oh, my goodness, we've got to bring in deregulation to drop the price of electricity. And it was a scam. They wanted to raise the price of electricity. Why? Why? Because they want to lower our living standards. When you understand that they feel it's unfair that the American people should have electric heat and electric air conditioning and electric lights and all of these things, when there's so many people in so many places of the world that don't even have electricity, that somehow to save electricity, they're going to raise the prices up, and that's how they're going to get us to stop using it. We're running out of electricity. Now, of course, that's absurd, but then so much of what goes on is totally absurd. That's why you need to get our four tapes out on electricity, our talk video on electricity, the electric crisis, and our syllabus on the electricity crisis. And, of course, they have to understand that the only way they can get us to stop using so much electricity is to run the price up, and that's exactly what they're doing. They know what they're doing, but the last thing they want is for you to understand that there is an organized habit, organized effort to lower the living standards of the American people and to redistribute our wealth. You'll find that in the Earth Charter, point 10A, that calls for equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. How do you get equitable distribution of wealth within nations? That's the communist system of socialism, redistribution of the wealth. Now, not the wealth of the elite, you must understand, but is the wealth of the common people. And then equitable distribution between nations. Why, you transfer the wealth of America throughout the world. You do it in the form of foreign aid. You do it in the name of foreign loans. You do it through the World Bank, which is financed with your tax money, through the International Monetary Fund, which is financed with your tax money, through the United States.